Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1, last Sunday afternoon, began consideration in the scriptures, in the course of a handful of messages. 70 elders and 70 witnesses. 70 elders and 70 witnesses. We took a look last time in the book of Exodus. There in chapter 18, where Moses' father-in-law, Brother Jethro, advised him on those to help him judge Israel. We don't know exactly if that's the genesis of from which the 70 elders that we see in Exodus chapter 24 and otherwise here in Numbers, as we're going to read about. Don't know if that's the beginning of it, but it seems like it is. I mentioned to you there is a passage there in Exodus 18 where it tells that Moses chose able men out of all of Israel to make them rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And if you take even a half a million people and put rulers over tens, you're going to end up with more than 70 men. But it does say, the wording in the scripture is say that that there's 70 of the elders of Israel. So it could be those that were chief and those that were in that highest hierarchy, those rulers of thousands or over the divisions of the heads of the tribes, possibly. Nevertheless, we see that these men in Exodus chapter 24 are brought to see the glory of God there on Sinai before Moses goes up and gets more of the law from the Lord. We come to Numbers chapter 1, and this is with this first generation. It's important as we read about the children of Israel that that's something that's become more, it's an obvious thing, but it's more evident that we need to keep track. Are we talking about the first generation or the second generation? The book of Deuteronomy is preached to the second generation, okay? It's there at the end before they enter into Canaan. That first generation died in the wilderness over the course of the 40 years. And so it is important for us to understand which generation is being spoken to. So here in the book of Numbers, we see here in chapter 1, verse number 1, the scripture says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month in the second year." Okay, so we see here it's that first generation. And we come on over here, well, let's read on here. The second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one a head of the house of his fathers. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you." So this book of Numbers has to do with this numbering. And maybe you've wondered how we would end up to think that there would be like a million and a half people that would come out of Israel. Well, these are just the men. This numbering is not the numbering of the entire nation, but the numbering of the men that are 20 years old and up. So that means that there's some that are 19 and younger. And then there's all the women. And then there's the mixed multitude that is with. And so by the time you begin to just number the men and consider everybody else that's there, you can end up with a real big number. And so that's how we do that. This numbering, just as an aside, this numbering as it's concluded here in the book of Numbers in chapter 2, these males, 20 years old and upward, total 603,550 of all the tribes. And so that's how, when we talk about a million plus coming out of Egypt, that's how we get to that. If you have if every man at that age had a wife alone, we'd be at 1.2 million. And so we know that there was more than that. So in Numbers, we come over to chapter 9. And here we're just getting the timing of the book. And it's good to know, you know, when you're dealing with context in the scriptures, always know who's speaking, to whom is being spoken to, and when the time of it is helpful, and so it's helpful in the study of this book. In chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year that they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying." And so it continues on. This book of Numbers taking place in a short time. And I don't know if you noticed that or not. In chapter 1, in verses 1 through 5, there in verse number 1, the first day of the second month of the second year, and it says here, "The Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai the first month of the second year." Sometimes you're going to find that the Scripture isn't chronological. Okay? And so that's the reason that we need to study. We come over here to Numbers chapter 11. The point here in this is that this book of Numbers all happens fairly quickly, okay? It doesn't seem that the content of it takes place over a long period of time. In Numbers chapter 11, we read in verse number 1, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched." So here even early on we see the chastisement of the Lord upon the nation and upon his people there, consuming fire at the perimeter of the camp. The Lord gave the order of how the Israelites were to camp and set up camp, the tribes and everything, around the tabernacle. But when they were in that, I'm just thinking out loud here, when they had their area of a particular tribe to set up camp, why is it that people went to the edge? Did the people go to the edge from the standpoint of gathering up the manna? Did they go to the edge because they wanted to try to get away from their own? They didn't want to be in the Mordit center. It's interesting that this plague comes to the edge. And where the edge might be viewed to be an easier place to live or a better place to live, it was not the place to be living at that time, was it? And so they disobey the Lord and they cry unto the Lord, and Moses once again intercedes. We read on down here, the fire was quenched. Verse 3, "And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." And so we come on down through here. The mixed multitude fell a-lusting, and they wanted flesh to eat and such as that. And we come on down here to verse number 16. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." And so once again we see the 70 elders of the tribes of Israel that are called. The Lord tells Moses, bring them here, bring them. They've got the tabernacle of the congregation built. It's all put together. When they break up camp, they put it up and they move on with the pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. When the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire stops, they set up camp again. First thing they do, set up the tabernacle. At least the Levites are. And then they set their camp around that. The Lord says, call them. Call them. And have them bring them to the tabernacle and stand there with you. Verse number 17. "And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. So they fussed about the manna. They want food. They want meat to eat. And they've not gone about it from the standpoint, they've murmured. They've fussed. They've quarreled about it. Rather than going to the Lord in prayer, rather than saying each one to his brother, say, you know, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord for some meat. He's been good to us. He's provided us for us all along the way. But they took the route of fussing and murmuring and crying and whining. And so in this, the Lord is going to have to deal with them again. We already saw in verse number and in earlier verses that his anger was kindled, that the fire burn amongst them. And then they don't even remember that to where they're fussing again about things. Lord, help us that we not be fussers, but thankful to our Lord and bring our petition to him. And so the Lord has made a promise here. He's going to take his spirit and put upon these 70 men. Okay. And that they might, I think maybe the testimony here is that they might be a witness like Moses. Because what is it? The people murmur, and then Moses says, y'all are wrong. And then the Lord chastises them for it. And then they cry to Moses again, and then Moses intercedes. And so maybe that there would be more men that would be and stand in that place. So he said, get ready. Tomorrow you're going to eat flesh. Verse 19, you shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month you're going to eat flesh until it come out at your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And so they always have this regret that they left, and they go back to that. Why did we ever leave? Why did we ever leave? You hear that? These people have seen the miracle of God in the plagues. I think one element that we're finding in this is that we're going to continue to find in this is that signs and wonders and miracles don't make for strong children of God. The strong children of God are going to have faith in the Lord. They're going to have faith in what the Lord says, not signs and wonders. And they saw them. They saw signs and wonders, and they were right. They were of the Lord. They were for that purpose. So the Lord says they're going to have flesh to eat a whole month till it comes out of their noses, because they have regretted leaving Egypt. Verse 21, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? So even Moses, when he hears that, even Moses has got some doubt. He said, is it going to be all of the cattle that we have, all the livestock that we have that are going to be butchered and prepared so that we can eat for such a long time? I mean, this is an enormous number of people. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? You know, he's led them to this place. He's led them to this place the way he's led them to this place. Is he going to quit them now? Now, understand, you know, there is a sense in life that we need to use, because we can get ourselves in binds and then say that, the Lord will deliver me out of this. You know, a couple things that are at hand is that in life, people reap what they sow. And that's everybody. And then the people of God, the children of God, can get chastised for where they sin against God and are presumptuous against the Lord. But the Lord has led them in everything to this point. It's not been that they've, where they have gone to their own thinking has been to go back to Egypt, to reject what the Lord's done, to reject the calling of the Lord. And in every case, the Lord's worked mightily. If they would have come, what do you think? If they would have come and said, Father, we thank you for the manna that you've given us, but it would be nice for us to have meat once a week. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Would the Lord have honored that? I believe surely he would have. But it's always a cry and a whine about what we don't have and what we miss and all that. Moses has his doubts, seemingly. And the Lord said, as the Lord's hand waxed short, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. So here we have the 70 elders thereabout. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, unto Moses. And the Lord took of the Spirit that was upon Moses, that he had given him some years before, a couple years before when he called him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. The Lord's Spirit has always been working. The Spirit of God has always been working, even from the creation, right? Don't we see that in Genesis, that the Spirit of God moved upon the waters? And here, the Lord takes the Spirit that he has put within Moses, and he puts it upon these 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other, Medad. There's some good names if you're going to have some boys. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And so the Lord evidently touched these two men too. They didn't go to the tabernacle as the other 70. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. Moses, stop them from prophesying. Stop them from speaking the word of the Lord. I think that's what we can say there. We don't know what it was that they were declaring, but the Spirit of the Lord was upon them, and they were declaring, I believe, the good word of God. It was the Spirit of the Lord upon them. Joshua says, make them stop. You remember a similar thing in the New Testament scriptures? Jesus is baptizing more than John is, and John's disciples are jealous about him. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Joshua, are you jealous over me and my calling of the Lord? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. You know, a couple things here. There's nothing better than being filled by the Spirit of God and used by him in his work. And a man of God, a man called by God with his heart right before his God, the one that's called him, is going to want the blessing of the Lord to go out unto all. It's not a thing. A calling to a man of God is not a thing to where he's got to hold it tight to himself and not get around to anybody else. That it not be that they're jealous over what the Lord has blessed them with and called them in and given them in the gifts. I tell you what, Moses' position is right. Would to God all were prophets. And you know what? What is it that we hear? What is it that John tells us that the Lord has said, and that those and around the throne of God sing unto the Lord and praise the Lord with, that he's made his children priests and kings. And so Moses' reaction is maybe a little different than what would be expected, but it's the right reaction. Enviest thou for my sake, verse 29, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Now the Lord brings the quail, and they eat it. They go after it without preparing it. And the Lord knows what they're going to do. And they set themselves up not honoring the Lord and not honoring the Lord and what he's given them to do. But it seems they eat it raw and in a lustful, out of control way. And yet another plague is there upon the people in this place. So the 70 elders, even filled with the Spirit of the Lord, but you know what? They weren't able to have an effect on the people, were they? There was no effect in the people. I mean, the plague came upon the nation. Now, do you think Joshua was involved with that? I don't think so. Do you think Caleb was involved with that? I don't think so. But as a whole, many of the nation were involved with it to the point that the Lord sent a plague among them. We come to chapter 13, and if you're familiar with chapter 13, it's the sending out of the spies. So they're right here, they come right here to the point of the Lord taking the first generation into the land of Canaan, the promised land. And if you know the account here, they send the spies, and they go in and they spend, a month surveying the land, and it's just like what the Lord said. They bring grapes on a pole carried between two men, one cluster. They've looked over the land, and I tell you what, indeed it is a land that flows with milk and honey. It's just, it's beyond what they could have imagined. 40 days, verse number 25. And so they come and they give this witness to the children of Israel. The 10 say, oh, it's a good land too. All 12 of them say, it's a good land. But 10 of them said, the giants are there. We've taken a look at this recently. The giants are there. They got great defense cities. They're too great for us, too strong for us, too long-standing for us. We can't do it. We need to go back to Egypt. We need to go somewhere else other than here. But Joshua and Caleb, they stand up and they say, let's go. This is what we've been called to. They hear, they heed, and believe the word of the Lord. Let us go up, verse number 30. Brother Caleb says, at once to possess it. We're well able to overcome it. But the others were afraid. They brought an evil report. They talked about the giants, and the people were discouraged in that. We come to chapter 14, and it says here, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, do you hear that there, that the congregation is speaking to Moses and Aaron again? We don't hear anything here about the 70 elders that were to be there and back up the word of the Lord. Those elders that were there on Sinai, that heard from God themselves and ate in the presence of the Lord. Remember that? Those 70 elders ate and drank in the presence of the Lord. They're called again, and the Lord takes them and puts his Spirit upon them that they might be a witness and a testimony of what God has promised he would do amongst the people. And where are the 70 elders? It's Moses and Aaron, isn't it? They murmur against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. You know, isn't that crazy? And you and I can be tempted to it too. They said, we're going to die if we go in there. And I wish we would have gone ahead and died in the wilderness. I wish we'd have gone ahead and died in Egypt. Well, wait a minute. If God says go in there, and you think, and you and I think that that's going to kill us, at least let's go in there and die for what the Lord's told us to do, rather than wanting to go somewhere else and die. I mean, what's the difference? Well, the difference is let us at least be found in obedience. Amen. But isn't that? I mean, that's just bizarre. But that's fleshly thinking. Verse number 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land? So accusation, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. Like they're going to really welcome them with open arms there. And they said one to another, let's make a captain. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. You don't hear the 70 elders there, do you? It's Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron. Isn't that something? You know, where's the 70? And there's a reason that I mentioned that. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Praise God. I mean, they understand what's going on. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, which is what they're doing. Neither fear ye the people of this land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with them, fear them not. With us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of the Israel. The Lord manifests himself. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them. Listen. I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might and from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, I beg thee, let the power of my Lord be great according to thou hast spoken, say. So Moses intercedes. And did you hear that offer to Moses or what the Lord said? He said, get out of the way, I'm going to blast them all, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. How old is Moses? 80-some years old. It's no problem, though, isn't it? He did it with another man at the beginning of this whole thing, didn't he? Brother Abraham. So there's no problem. There's no problem. You know what Moses does? Moses' heart is right as the servant and the man of God. You know, he intercedes. He doesn't say, it's not a bad deal. Go ahead. He doesn't back off and say, go ahead and zap him. But he intercedes. You know what? He doesn't tell the Lord the things that the Lord doesn't know. The Lord knows what he said. The Lord knows what he's declared. But you know what he does in this? Brother Moses intercedes and worships the Lord. He reiterates. God hadn't forgot anything. But he reiterates to the Lord what he has said regarding the nation. And there is a wisdom that being the Lord's man that God has given him, that he says, look at the reputation that will be at hand. And he intercedes. And you know how it is? Listen to this. May God help us to see this. We called them out. He called them out, and they've sinned against him. They've gone against him terribly. They've gone too far with him. What is it that the Lord can do and still bring his people in and not let them get away with being guilty of blaspheming his name in this way? He'll take in their children. You see what I'm saying? With God, nothing is impossible. The nation still went in. And those that rebelled against the Lord were dealt with. And God kept his promise. You know, so just bringing that down here to our lives. Is there anything impossible with God? I tell you what, our Lord knows the beginning from the end. And he can save anybody, and he can do anything, and he can provide anything for his children and for his way, for his work, for his will. He can do anything in any case. He's able. And may God help us when we're tempted to whine, when I'm tempted to whine and fuss and carry on about I'm not liking the way things are going, and want it a different way, or like, what in the world is going to happen here? May we always defer to God and know that all things are possible with Him. And what did Jesus say? Nothing is impossible. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. So, he says, saying, verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering. I beseech thee, show your power. The Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the third and fourth generation. You know what Moses is doing? He's repeating to the Lord what the Lord told him in Deuteronomy, or what he declared in Deuteronomy and what he gave to him and told him in Exodus. That's worship. He's worshiping the Lord. We worship the Lord, one facet, one aspect of worshiping the Lord is telling Him what we know about Him, from Him. He's worshiped in that way. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, verse 19, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Pardon me, Lord, forgive them again. Forgive them again. And the Lord said, I pardon according to thy word. You believe that? That's what he said. I have pardoned. I've forgiven them according to your word. Indeed, we see here that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, doesn't it? I mean, those people were on the verge of getting zapped. Not the plague on the borders and the perimeter of the camp, but a plague throughout the camp. But this one man prayed for them. Child of God, man of God. I pardon according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. He will be glorified, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. What were the 10 times? That's a study. And have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit within him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. We're talking way better than 1 million people, folks. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land. I tell you what, you take, do a little math when we get done with services. Don't do it now, but do a little bit of math and we get services. You take 1.2 million of those 20 years old and upward, 600,000, if each one of them had a wife, and just say if each one of them had a wife or if each one of them had a sister, and you divide that by 360 days a year, in 40 years, and find out how many people were dying every day over the course of 40 years. Take it on up to 2 million and do the math there. 40 years, 360 days a year, find out how many people in that camp were dying. Were dying every day. And you know what? They didn't bury them in the wilderness. It doesn't seem to be that they buried them in the wilderness. They took them on to the promised land. So just something to take a look at there. And if you do take a look at it, I'm interested in hearing from you. We go on and we read here. In verse number 22, I passed over it. All those men which have seen my glory. A mention there. Of the 70 elders, I believe. Who saw the glory of the Lord? Well, the nation saw it to some extent. And then Moses and Aaron and Joshua saw it. Moses saw it to the fullest extent, the revealing of the Lord. And those 70 men saw it at Sinai. And those 70 men saw it around the tabernacle. They were filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And the thing is they did not meet their calling by the Lord to be a witness with Moses and Aaron of the graciousness and the greatness and the goodness of the Lord. We don't see them mentioned at all other than with the Lord in this condemning tone, these condemning words, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, and of course that begins to touch all of the Israelites from the plagues there in Egypt. But certainly those 70 men saw even more and experienced even more, didn't they? And so so the Lord gives his declaration here that all 20 years and old upward are going to die in the wilderness. Verse number 30, and doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, the ones you said you were protecting, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. And bear your whoredoms until the carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. And I the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness shall they be consumed, and there shall they die. You know what that meant for a 20-year-old? By 60, he's going to be dead. And they live long lives in this day. You know, long compared to us. I mean, just think if you turn 20, they had your 20th birthday a day or two before the numbering. You're going to be dead within 40 years. We need to believe the Lord. We need to believe the Lord and trust in Him. Verse 35, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, and made all the congregation to murmur against him, bringing up slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord right then. I think it's immediate. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Because they believed the Lord. They simply had faith in what God had said unto them. And Moses told these, saying, the sayings unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly, and they rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. When the Lord says it's done, it's just better to take the whipping. When it's done, when the Lord says it's done, it's done. It's done for now. Take the whipping. They weren't willing to take the whipping. They wanted once again to change the will and the way of the Lord. He said, don't do it. Go not up, verse 42, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are still before you, and ye shall fall by the sword because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwell in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. So here we see about, once again, in a couple of occasions here in this book of Numbers, about the 70 elders. The call of the Lord for them to be a support to Moses and Aaron. And seemingly, from what we see, they are not. They are not. It's a sad thing, isn't it? It's a sad, sad thing These men could have been a help. Wonder of these 70 men being called this way and having seen the glory of the Lord as they did, wonder if they were amongst some of the leadership that said, no, we can't. We can't. What the 10 spies have said is what we got to abide by. And they were a counter witness. They were a witness contrary to the word of the Lord. May God help us that we not go by sight, but may the Lord help us that we go by faith and live by faith in His word. 70 elders and 70 witnesses. Lord willing, we're going to go over in Ezekiel next time and then into the New Testament and see about this subject. And there's a most condemning thing once again in the book of Ezekiel regarding the 70 elders. If we understand this, and I'll just give you this highlight about this. These 70 are what in time became the Sanhedrin, if we understand things correctly. And the Sanhedrin is all the way down into the Lord Jesus' day. It's the council. The Lord stood before part of the council, it seems. And so from the time of Moses, recommended by Jethro and ordained by the Lord and seeing the signs and wonders that they did and coming all the way through to the time of the Lord's day, it just doesn't seem to have been a prophet, does it? It doesn't seem to have been a help. Why is that? Why is it the Scripture bears that out that way? And so may the Lord help us so we might see and understand more about it.